At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to All Sides with Anna Staver. It's our spring membership drive. More on that in just a minute. If you were raised here in the Midwest, there's a decent chance that vegetables were not the main dish for dinner. More of an afterthought. They usually came boiled, or fried, or smothered in cheese. And a lot of times, they didn't taste good. So you were told, repeatedly, eat your vegetables. Until eating vegetables became synonymous with doing things you didn't like because they were, quote, good for you. Chef and cookbook author Cara Mangini has been on a crusade to change our view. She wants to put vegetables in the center of your plate. And if her name sounds familiar, it's because Cara used to have a restaurant here in Columbus called The Little Eater. She's also the author of an award-winning cookbook, The Vegetable Butcher. It's a primer on how to pick, prepare, and cook vegetables. We're excited to have her join us this hour to talk about her latest cookbook that just hit the shelves, The Vegetable Eater, the new playbook for cooking vegetarian. Welcome back to All Sides, Cara. We're going to get to all things Vegetable Eater in just a moment. But first, you're listening to All Sides with Anna Staver here on 89.7 NPR News. And this is our membership drive. Listener support is the foundation of our budget. So please make your gift right now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. For $10 a month as a sustainer, you're going to get Cara's new book, The Vegetable Eater. It's a beautiful book with more than 100 recipes and 3 seasonal variations. It puts amazing vegetable forward dishes into your home cooking rotation. It's full of really simple lessons and recipes. You can make butternut and kale coconut curry stew, tomatoes, sweet corn, zucchinis, pasta. Get this great book for $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120. You're going to support public radio and get a wonderful book to help you rethink the way you think about vegetables. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And like I said, you might remember Cara from her previous cookbook, The Vegetable Butcher, or you might remember her Columbus restaurant called Little Eater. Cara is a true vegetable lover, and this brand new book is the perfect addition to your cookbook collection, especially if you're trying to eat a little bit healthier. Give $10 a month at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. We're listener-supported public radio here, which means listeners like you give what they can to support the news and information you depend on. And if having a local radio station here in Central Ohio is important to you, you should give now. You'll be supporting shows like All Sides and the shows you love from NPR, like Morning Edition, Here and Now. And you're supporting all the local journalism that we do here at WOSU. Our award-winning team covers Central Ohio for you. So support your future listening with a gift today at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. So, Cara, I want to start with your new book, The Vegetable Eater, because I understand that the idea for it came from conversations you had here in Columbus with your customers at Little Eater.
Yes, that's right. After The Vegetable Butcher, my first book, people would come into the restaurant and they were so excited about the book. But the question I got over and over again was, okay, I've now been cooking more with vegetables, but what do I make for dinner? And so this book really is an answer to that question. People just wanted to know what to make when it's time to cook. And I really filled this book with complete meals that answer that question.
And what I love about the cookbook is it feels like you tried to meet people where they are. So there's familiar recipes like burgers. There's quick sheet pan meals that can be prepared and cooked in under 30 minutes. There's pasta. There's soups. It feels really approachable, if that makes sense.
Yes. No, thank you for noticing that. It was really designed to be approachable and to help people feel really comfortable and confident in the kitchen cooking with vegetables. And the other thing is that really a lot of the conversations I had with people at Little Eater was I learned that people came to vegetable-based eating for all different reasons, whether it be a doctor who asked someone to consider changing their diet, or a new parent who wanted to cook more with vegetables, or someone who wanted to eat more with vegetables to support the environment. And for all these different reasons, you know, you realize there are so many different types of eaters at the table. And I wanted to create a book that really felt like it connected with all those eaters. So all of the recipes, all of those complete meals are familiar sounding so that you can immediately connect with a dish and feel like this is something I'm going to love. And then it just so happens that that meal is made up completely of vegetables.
So I got to ask, does the book include any recipes that you served at Little Eater?
Yes, absolutely. There are so many Little Eater favorites in the book. Our ultimate black bean chili is in the book, and that was one that I couldn't believe that, you know, on the hottest day in the summer, we would sell a ton of that chili. So that recipe, we've been asked for that forever. Our most popular green salad, which I call in the book the every season green salad. We called it our signature green salad at Little Eater, with the dressing that is just signature Little Eater. That recipe is in the book. There are a bunch of our grain and vegetable based salads. There's the one that I think is the sort of classic Little Eater sandwich, which is the beet and avocado sandwich, which was a big favorite. Our squash steak with apple onion jam sandwich with kale and walnuts and cherry vinaigrette, our avocado toast, and then these zucchini cherry scones that were always a favorite in the summer months using Ohio zucchini.
I saw that recipe. I flagged it. I put a little like sticky tab in there. I was like, that one looks really good.
It's so good. It is really a winner for sure.
And you have a classic black bean burger, which I am a huge fan of black bean burgers. So I was very excited to get to try out this recipe because I'm always looking for a new spin on it. But you also had one with sweet potatoes and chickpeas. And I was like, oh, that's different.
Yes. So the book is designed for every essential dish that I say that you sort of every vegetable eater should know. There are three variations so that as you learn a technique, you can really switch out ingredients as the seasons change. So with that example of the burgers, there are three burgers in the book. So there's a beet and black bean burger. There's a sweet potato chickpea burger, which is so delicious. And that one's really easy to make. And with cilantro and a chipotle sauce, which is a yogurt sauce, which is really good with lime. And then there's a classic drive-through burger, which is mushroom and walnuts. And it just has kind of all of the condiments that make it that kind of classic drive-through fast food kind of burger that you have in your mind. But that, yes, that sweet potato one is so good. But I think it's a good example of kind of the way that you get three different recipes for every dish and really can cook with the seasons.
Yeah, I was surprised by it. That got a little flag too, because I love black bean burgers. And I was like, oh, chickpeas. That sounds really clever.
It's a binder. So it really makes for a great texture for that burger.
So speaking of seasonality, sweet corn is coming into season here in Ohio. What kind of recipes do you have in the book that can really bring sweet corn to the forefront? Because it is amazing when we're going to get into summer here. Maybe I'm biased.
Yes, you know, and I think that's something that I love so much about Ohio and my time cooking in Ohio. I feel like there's those, you know, we really wait for those moments and anticipate those moments. And I feel like cooking with vegetables allows you to really cook in rhythm with the seasons. And there's nothing like the seasons in Ohio and in central Ohio. And the sweet corn is just that iconic Ohio vegetable, right? So there are some great recipes for sweet corn. One of them was designed with Ohio sweet corn. I developed the recipe with that, as well as with Branstall Orchard's peaches. And there's it's a taco with sweet corn and black beans, and then this wonderful peach salsa. So that's one. That is one to flag and cook in the summer months as soon as sweet corn comes into season. What else? There's so many. There's a sweet corn and zucchini fritter, which is really delicious. There's a zucchini soup with a tomato sweet corn crostata, which is amazing. Let's see what else. There's a buttermilk cornbread with honey butter.
Ooh.
That is a very easy, quick bread that comes together really nicely. And there's actual, you shave the corn off the cob and put it into the cornbread. It's amazing.
That sounds really good.
And then
good.
There's a great chili. So again, with that example of being able to cook through the seasons, there's that ultimate black bean chili is in the book, but there's also really simple summer chili using Ohio tomatoes and sweet corn. And that one's just a really quick, using canned beans, a really quick chili that's really wonderful. And you really get that sweet corn flavor.
Yeah, that's one of the things I like about The Vegetable Eater is it's got the familiar ways that you might think of using like something like sweet corn, like cornbread. And then it's got all these interesting ones. And the zucchini and corn fritters sound really amazing because anybody who grows zucchini knows that you hit a certain point in the season where you're like, you can't give it away.
No, absolutely. And you know, that soup was designed with that in mind too. It uses a ton of it. And I know there's that surplus of zucchini, and the scones do it as well. But you got to have a lot of zucchini recipes in your back pocket if you're cooking with local zucchini, for sure. If you have zucchini in your garden, you need a bunch in your back of great recipes in your back pocket.
I want to say thank you to Jessica Hamlin from Columbus. You know, if you haven't seen this book, I definitely recommend you checking it out because it's bright pink, so you're not going to lose it in your kitchen. It's just a very graphic, fun cover. And you flip through it. It's got all these big, like beautiful, like full color page photos of different vegetables and different sandwiches. And if you're really curious, you can go on to my social media, to Instagram. It's just at Anna Staver. I'm very easy to find. And in my stories, so you click on the little like picture at the top with my face and you can see I flipped through the whole book. I noted some of the recipes that I'm really interested in checking out. So if you want to see what this looks like, get like a sneak peek into The Vegetable Eater, because once you see, there's this one sandwich that I flagged, and like once you see the picture of it, you're absolutely gonna want to make it. And I'm flipping to it right now because I was just like, oh my goodness, this looks delicious. I know I can't find it. So I will ask you, do you have a favorite sandwich while I search for the one that like really caught
my
eye?
Oh, I can't choose a favorite. Okay, I'll tell you what they are. So there's, I say in the book that the beet and avocado sandwich is the best sandwich this is like one of the best things I've ever made or created. And it's a super bold statement, I know, but it's just this extraordinary combination of flavors and textures and highlights beets so beautifully. It's layered beets with a citrus vinaigrette and citrus dressing greens with whipped goat cheese and chives, pickled onions, and avocado. It's amazing. There are deli style sandwiches in the book. So one like that. There's also a cucumber and pesto sandwich with arugula, and then that butternut squash steak sandwich that I mentioned before. Those, I could not choose between those, but there's also what I call the hero sandwich. So more warm, kind of gooey, really hearty sandwiches in the book. And one of them is a cauliflower roll that's amazing. It's sort of a play on lobster roll and with a toasty buttery bun and celery and celery seed, and it's so extraordinary. And then this wonderful roasted eggplant sandwich. It's a eggplant kind of Parmesan hero with pesto and tomato sauce and arugula and mozzarella. So good. And then kind of a grown-up grilled cheese with broccoli rabe and apple and delicious melted cheese. So I've not told you all of them, but you can't make me choose. They're all so good.
That's all right. I think it's actually, so it's the cover of chapter 3. And I think based on looking at it and the ingredients, I think what I was talking about was the beet salad. I mean, sorry, the beet sandwich with the goat cheese, because I'm looking at it going, oh, that's pretty.
Well, okay, so you're not alone. That was our number one selling item at Little Eater. It's really very, very special. And the steps and the full recipe is in the book. So if you miss that sandwich, that one's in there.
I want to say thank you to Denise Sheely from Hilliard. Cara Mangini is our guest this hour, and we're offering her brand new cookbook as a thank you gift. It is an extension of the conversation we're having today about how to incorporate vegetables into your dinners, move them from the side dish to the main dish. And if you enjoy listening to All Sides because this show covers everything from politics to cooking, then this is a great time to become a member. For $10 a month as a sustainer, you get the book, The Vegetable Eater. And the subtitle is The New Playbook for Cooking Vegetarian. And it really is. Give us a call at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. It's got colorful photographs and step-by-step instructions on how to transform all kinds of veggies into amazing dishes you can cook at home. The book has more than 100 recipes that put the spotlight on vegetables as the centerpiece of your meals. If you're doing like a meatless Monday, this is a great book to have some variety. It's got a section dedicated to cooking seasonally. So learn how to make a vegetable grain bowl or a frittata with variations for spring, summer, and fall. In the book, Cara says she wants to delight everyone at the table with vegetables. Make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer and get this great book. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And if you're listening to All Sides today or every day, then now is the time to show your support. 89.7 NPR News is part of your life. You've relied on this station for important information about Ohio's primary elections, the impact of the Intel development. We've been digging deep into the housing crisis with our new series, Untangled. Basically, 89.7 brings you news that you trust. So I want you to support the coverage you count on. Can you give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678? Thanks to Jeremy Brown from Pickerington. If you want to be like Jeremy and pledge $10 a month, if that fits in your budget, then you're going to get the Vegetable Eater Cookbook. It's $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120. You can support public radio and get a gift in return. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. So, Cara, I'm the mom of tiny humans. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I am always trying to do is get more vegetables into my kids. But I don't want it to be in a eat your vegetables kind of way. The thing that you do because it's good for you, but it doesn't taste good. So, do you have any suggestions for recipes that could really help me show my kids how great vegetables can taste?
Yes. And you know what I want to say? I think adults are similar to those little eaters as well, in that we really want delicious, flavor-forward food, right? Like, we don't want to feel like we have to eat our vegetables. We want to feel like we get to eat our vegetables and that everything on the plate is enough and abundant and delicious, and that we're going to be satisfied and we're going to love and crave the food on our plate. So I think we're all in that same boat as our littlest eaters. But specifically when it comes to, so I want to say that all of the recipes in the book are designed with that in mind for every eater at the table to really get excited about this food and want to come back to it over and over again. And that really this is food that everyone at the table will love. But for the little ones, I would say there are a few recipes that I would point out. One is, and I can tell you that my kids absolutely love, the spaghetti and meatballs are really extraordinary. I think they get really, little kids get really excited about that one. And there's grains and beans and, you know, it's just a really well-rounded balance in terms of
nutrients dish that I think little ones will love. The fritters are ones that are great too. The carrot cilantro fritters are great. Fritters in general, I think, are one that kids get excited about, and there's usually a little dip to dip into. The pastas, there are wonderful pastas in this book. Vegetable packed pastas, and then wonderful sauces. So I think kids love a pasta with a sauce. In this book, there's a great beet sauce and a fennel sauce that are wonderful and just smooth and creamy, and kids get excited about that. The beet one is really bright and vibrant, and kids get excited because they're having pink pasta and they don't realize they're having beets. The toasts are really great for that also. But I think really just not focusing on the have to, and just making vegetables a natural part of the plate, and just continuing to introduce vegetables to the table. That's why I think this book is so special and important, is just to sort of give you as the adult the tools to cook with vegetables and have that as the center of your family meals. And kids really start to come to those ingredients and not feel like it's something they're forced to do, but something they can celebrate with everyone at the table.
I really love all those different sauces. So we can move beyond the tomato sauce with pasta. I think that's a fun way to introduce a vegetable.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's a great pesto in there as well with broccoli. And that's great too, because kids get excited about pesto for sure, but you're using a vegetable with it instead.
Yeah. Also, I want to circle back to the meatball, and I'm using air quotes because it's got lentils, black beans, chickpeas. And, you know, one of the things I like about that, and I always try to tell people, if you're pretty carnivorous and you're kind of branching out, don't expect it to taste like a traditional meatball, but appreciate it for what it is. You know, like a black bean burger doesn't taste like a hamburger, but it can still taste pretty awesome.
Absolutely. I think that my approach is definitely that, you know, I don't want this food to necessarily taste like something else. I think that these ingredients are beautiful and delicious on their own for what they are. And so I really try and bring out the best in every vegetable ingredient, you know, in those raw, beautiful ingredients. So, but I want things to feel familiar in a way so that we can all connect with the dish and get excited about the dish. So there's a whole chapter on meatballs and how to make a vegetable-based meatball. So I think it's more of, you know, sometimes it's the surrounding thing. So with the example of the spaghetti and meatballs, it's so familiar, that dish, right? And all of those flavors there, it's seasoned with fennel and oregano and those things that kind of are part of onion that are part of a classic meatball. But you really taste, you taste the bean, but the texture and the just the dish overall, I think, really call back to the classic, but you can appreciate it for what it is. And then there's the falafel in the book, and there's wonderful a play on kofta with lentils. And sometimes it's just the sort of the surrounding things that feel familiar. But I think we can really appreciate vegetables for what they are, not try and make them something, turn them into something else.
I want to say thank you to Mary Lee Bendig from Groveport. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides. During this show, you're going to hear conversations with interesting people, and those conversations are always going to be in-depth. Many times, we talk to a single guest like Kara for an entire hour. You hear experts in the studio, and we bring you a show that's truly local. You can only find that on public radio. So I want you to support the station you depend on at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. If you contribute today at $10 a month as a sustainer, you're going to get Kara's new cookbook, The Vegetable Eater, the new playbook for cooking vegetarian. It's got recipes for soups, chilies, salads, burgers, meatballs, like we've just been talking about, all made from vegetables. You'd be amazed at what a vegetable can do. So I want you to get this wonderful brand new cookbook when you make a gift of $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120. You go online to WOSU.org or call us at 866-897-9678. All Sides is a show that digs deep into the important issues impacting life here in Ohio. We've been covering the affordable housing crisis. We've been covering politics and legislation. We cover it all, if we can. But this show also understands that it's important to take a break from the news sometimes. It can be a little overwhelming. So we also talk about gardening, home distilling, and the untold history of Benedict Arnold. That was a favorite show of mine, actually. If a show that truly covers all sides of everything is important to you, give now at WOSU.org or give us a call at 866-897-9678. And if Kara sounds familiar, if you're like, I know that name, it might be from her previous cookbook, The Vegetable Butcher. Or you might remember her from her Columbus restaurant called Little Eater. Several of Little Eater's best-selling recipes are actually in this book. So if you ever wanted those zucchini scones, now's your time to get the recipe. Give $10 a month at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. So, Kara, being able to buy a bunch of fresh vegetables and cook with them on a regular basis can be expensive. You know, it's often more expensive than buying the prepackaged food in the center of the grocery store. So where do you come down on frozen vegetables, which usually are a lot cheaper? And how would we maybe do some of the recipes that way?
Yeah, I think that, you know, my hope is that people cook with more vegetables. I believe, you know, if you have access to fresh vegetables, then, you know, and that fits into your budget, that absolutely, I think you're going to get the best flavor. And I think it helps support overall the, just the result of the dish in terms of just a flavor. And I think that's what kind of keeps you coming back to dishes over and over. But I really wanted this book, like you mentioned in the beginning, to be approachable and to feel like it can fit into your life and your budget. And so there are plenty of vegetables that I think work frozen or prepackaged. Some of that helps too, just with shortcuts of things that are already cut or washed for you. And so in the front of the book, I share all of those tips, the ones that I use. So, and then throughout the book, I share little tips. So if you want to use frozen peas for a dish, which is one that I use a lot, that I'll add to dishes for sure. That's one that's good. I think that frozen peppers can be good, like sliced sweet peppers work nicely. If it's not something, of course, you don't want to use something that was previously frozen in a dish, in a raw dish, so something like a salad, you really want to use fresh vegetables. But when you're making a stew or sauteing for a stir fry or for the filling for taco, for example, it's fine to use frozen vegetables. And, you know, they're frozen shortly after they're picked. So they are nutrient dense for sure. And I think that that's something you want to just, you can certainly incorporate into your cooking and don't feel like you have to always use fresh vegetables. But also, like I mentioned, there are some of those store-bought pre-prepped vegetables that I think are great. So salad greens, pre-cooked and peeled beets. I know beets sometimes feel a little overwhelming, like there's so many steps to take. So those are ones. Curly kale, I think, is a good one. You just have to make sure you pull off the thick stems. Broccoli and cauliflower that's already trimmed for you, I think, works nicely. And butternut squash as well, if you don't feel like breaking down a big butternut squash.
Well, the Vegetable Butcher cookbook will give you tips on how to break down all kinds of vegetables in all different shapes and sizes. I want to say thank you to Robert Lowry from Columbus, and thank you to Roger Blocker from Columbus. Thank you both for supporting WOSU. And, you know, we touched on this a little bit, but I do want to circle back. The very end of the book, the very back of the book, has all the recipes, and you sort of tick off what seasons would be best to eat them. And, you know, one of the things I like about that is I have done for a number of years, on and off, CSAs with my husband, which are you spend a certain amount of money and then you get these big boxes of like mystery vegetables every week from a local farm. And it's such a great way to learn about new vegetables or get into new and interesting things. And I think this would be like a great companion, like join the CSA, have the vegetable eater, because I had never seen kohlrabi until I did a CSA, and I was like, what the heck is this thing?
Yes, that is one that people ask about all the time. But if you are supporting a CSA and getting that farm box, you start to get some vegetables that you're not as familiar with. So I really wanted to make sure there is that guide so you can use the index and the recipes by season so that you really can cook in rhythm with the season and with your farm box if that's something you're doing, or if you're shopping at one of the incredible farmers markets in Ohio. This book is really a companion for that. Kohlrabi is one that, you know, it doesn't look necessarily like, sort of looks like it's from another planet. And it's really a wonderful vegetable. And there are some great recipes in the book for kohlrabi. One of them is this filet, sort of thinly sliced steak. There's a steak section in the book. So it's a steak of kohlrabi that's breaded in a macadamia nut panko crust with an orange fleur blanc and jasmine rice. It's really wonderful. But, you know, there's all sorts of things. Fennel sometimes can come. You can start getting a bunch of fennel or a bunch of greens in a farm box. And, you know, it's a question that everyone has. You know, what do I do with this? And what do I make before it starts to perish? And so it's really important to me to create go-to crowd-pleasing recipes that feels like, you know, you're excited to get into the kitchen and start cooking before those vegetables start to go bad.
This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Anna Staver. Joining us this morning is Cara Mangini. With our thank you gifts for this hour are her new cookbook, The Vegetable Eater. If you contribute $10 a month as a sustainer, you're going to get her brand new bright pink cookbook. Your $10 a month can be withdrawn from your checking account or charged to a credit card. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. There's more than 100 recipes, 35 essential dishes, and 3 seasonal variations. There's also a helpful checklist in the back of the book that we've been talking about that tells you which season is best for each dish. You can learn to make cauliflower steaks, celery root cutlets, and zucchini corn fritters. And the book includes desserts too, which we're going to talk about in just a minute. There's a recipe for everyone. So you can give now and show your support while Cara is on the air. There's even spiced pumpkin waffles, which might be really fun to try out this fall. It's $10 a month. As a sustaining member, go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. This thank you gift is perfect for anyone who loves a good cookbook or anyone who's trying to eat a little more vegetables, work them into their diets. We all know somebody who has a substantial cookbook collection in their kitchen. Perhaps you are that person, and that's why you're enjoying this hour here on WOSU. You're going to learn some amazing tips and tricks from a vegetable expert. I promise you, you don't have a cookbook like this in your kitchen. And you also have a wonderful opportunity to support us here at 89.7 NPR News. All Sides is a show that digs deep into the important news of the day. But we also understand that you need a little break from the doom and gloom. And that's why we have shows like this one, where we're going to talk about vegetables and cooking and supporting your local CSAs. Support everything you hear on this station with a gift. Give now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And again, the gift you're getting this hour is The Vegetable Eater, the new playbook for cooking vegetarian. Don't miss your chance to get one and support public radio at the same time. It's really a win-win. Give now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And thanks so much to Rita Leopold from Columbus. So, let's talk to vegetables in desserts, because I feel like this is sometimes a controversial thing. And you actually have one of the most, I hate to call it, controversial desserts, which is brownies made with black beans.
Yes. Well, first of all, I'm so excited to be talking about the desserts. And I thought when you said the back of the book, we were going to start talking about desserts before. So I'm very excited. The desserts in this book are so special. I think that when you are cooking a meal, and certainly the recipes in the book were designed to fit into all the different parts of your life. So for a random Tuesday and Wednesday night, as well as for all the special occasions in your life. So when you're putting vegetables at the center of the plate, that you can feel like you can cook for someone who's ill, or bring a dish to a special holiday meal, or a special spring celebration or fall celebration or brunch. So the recipes really fit into all those different occasions. And I think when you're gathering people, it's important to have a dessert as well. So there are desserts in this book, and they're very special. And I spent a lot of time making sure they are ones that you can really, if you're going to take the time to make a dessert, that they're really, really special. So yes, there are black bean brownies. They're called special ingredient brownies. So you have to look closely to see what it is. But they're so special and so delicious. You have to make them to believe it, that the beans really, first of all, you don't taste the beans, and then they just taste like really decadent, fudgy chocolate brownies. And they stand in for the flour. So not only are they protein rich, they're gluten free, and they are just chocolatey and delicious. And you have to try them to believe it.
One of the things I used to love to do when my kids were little was I'd make that my regular chocolate chip cookie recipe, but I would swap avocado for the butter.
Yes. Oh, I love that. That's the kind of, it's a similar thing. It's, you know, it's nice. It feels like it's something that you can make and enjoy just as a protein-rich snack, you know, for this. And you feel like you're just getting a little something in there. And the other recipes as well, they were also designed to be able to cook with the seasons. And especially in Ohio, when the fruit season comes on, it's just this one after the other of this incredible fruit. And I wanted to make sure that you have recipes that can highlight the fruit of the moment. So it starts with the strawberry citrus olive oil cake. So the second those extraordinary strawberries come into season, you have a cake you can make. But also when blueberries come, you can use blueberries instead of the strawberries. And then when peaches come, you can use peaches in that cake. And I share throughout the book those little tips so that you know you can make those seasonal swaps. There's a wonderful blueberry crostata. So when you have that surplus of fruit, you can make a really quick jam. And that crostata is, you know, you can also use store-bought jam. But that crostata is made for a fresh fruit jam, a really simple one. And then there's this wonderful, and this was really inspired by apple picking in Ohio. The book ends with this, what I call a apple almond croissant crostata, and it tastes like an almond croissant, but highlights just fresh, local, wonderful apples. And that is one to serve at a holiday table for sure. It's one I'm really, really proud of, but you will find some very special, special desserts in this book.
And I will say the apple almond faux croissant looks a lot easier to make than a real croissant, because those layers, they are tricky. They will trip you up.
Yes, very important caveat. But I'm very proud of this dough for this tart. It's very, very simple to make. It's really approachable. It can sometimes, you know, dishes that have used that have sort of the step of making the crust can feel a little bit overwhelming, I think. But this one is really simple. You can make it very easily. And it's just about shaving the butter really thinly. And you get this wonderful flaky crust. And I really recommend this recipe for sure.
Yeah, the strawberry citrus olive oil cake looks fantastic. And it like resurfaced a memory of me of mine having this like lemon olive oil cake. And I was like, oh, I had forgotten how much I like olive oil in cake, which sounds like something that you wouldn't want initially. But once you've tried it, you're like, oh, no, that's really good.
No, it feels like every cake should have olive oil once you have an olive oil cake. And I also say in the book that I am a cake person. I love cake. And this cake is, I think, my favorite cake. And that's a bold statement as well. So I can't recommend that recipe enough. And the citrus flavors really come through. And it's just one of those ones that you just want to keep eating. So if you have it for a celebration, for a birthday, it's really a special occasion cake, but it's also one that you want to save slice for the morning and have with your tea or coffee. It's one you can enjoy all day for sure.
Yeah, there's something about lemon and olive oil in a cake that, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, feels almost a little Italian to me.
Yes, no, for sure. Well, I'm Italian, and so there's definitely a lot of Italian influence throughout the book. And Italians enjoy cake and sweets for breakfast. So this is one you can definitely justify in the morning, I think.
Yeah, and come fall, you can make spiced pumpkin waffles.
Yes, that one's great. This one, as soon as fall comes, you know, in Ohio, there's nothing like that moment when it just, that summer meets fall and the weather starts to change. And, you know, there are all these vegetables that just really highlight the season. And pumpkin, of course, is one of them. Sweet potatoes, you can use either one. So it's just, I think, really satisfies that pumpkin spice craving in the fall months, and it fills the house with these wonderful smells. It really allows you to pause and connect with the moment and the season. And that's my hope for all these recipes, that you can really connect with nature in that way. And so these waffles are one that you can do that for sure. And you can use canned pumpkin. So it's very simple. You can also use sweet potatoes, swap out the pumpkin and boil some sweet potatoes and just make a puree of sweet potato. And that works really nicely as well. But it has all of those classic pumpkin spice flavors. And that gets me excited for fall, that we have so many more amazing vegetables before we get to that. But it's one that I think people will really enjoy.
One of the things I want to draw people's attention to in the book is on the side. So you have the recipe and the step-by-step instructions. And then on the side, you have all these little like notes. So you might have like a butcher tip about how to chop things, or an equipment tip, or ingredient info, or things like, hey, you can swap this for that. I love it. It's almost like you're leaving little like sticky notes throughout each recipe.
Yeah, thank you for noticing that. I think it's so important to me to be in the kitchen with you and to help and answer any questions you have. So I try to anticipate all the questions you might have with those little sticky notes that you say. There are notes, and I had to even cut some of them. I wanted to share so many things, you know. So there are my tips for, you know, how to, and little illustrations to remind you of how to cut something or how to peel something, how to handle it. So it just feels a little easier. There are tips for pantry swaps or vegetable swaps, seasonal swaps. You just feel like you don't have to have all the ingredients for this recipe. You can make changes and make it your own. I just wanted to feel like cooking in this way is approachable and that you can really do it. And I think, you know, The Vegetable Butcher was certainly based on this, my first book, but this book really carries that on, is that, you know, we didn't all learn how to cook naturally with vegetables, and that's okay. And I think many of us feel like we should already know, and it's okay to not know. And actually most of us don't know. So I want to just sort of give those little reminders. And even when you do know, you might forget, you know, or you haven't cooked with that vegetable in a while. It's like, okay, how again, what do I do with this? Or how do I approach this when it comes to breaking it down? Or how do I wash this? Or, oh, and this is wilted, you know, can I revive it? So I share those kind of tips throughout because I just want you to feel really confident, like this is something that you can do and be excited to cook in this way. And that, again, this food is for everyone. You know, it says vegetarian on the cover, and that was really just sort of to describe the style of cooking. But this is vegetable forward, flavor forward food that is meant to really delight everyone at the table. So I want to just really highlight that this is food for everyone. And at the end of the day, this is just really delicious, abundant, crave-worthy food.
You know, I want to tease out something that you said there, because I think it's an important point, because I feel like sometimes, especially if you're new to cooking, you feel like you have to follow the recipe exactly. And, you know, it's a good idea to do it the first time. But yeah. I love that the permission to make it your own. If you like the black bean burgers, but you're like, you know, I really want a little more onion, or I really want a little more garlic, like, go ahead, add extra onion, add extra garlic.
Absolutely. You know, I think so when you get into pastry and baking, you have to be a little more precise. But I think some of the joy and beauty in cooking is just freestyling a little bit. And the goal of this book was really to give you the lessons and the technique. And then at the beginning of each essential dish, I share all the different ways that you can make a dish your own, so that you can start to feel like you can pick up a head of broccoli or cauliflower or a big bunch of beautiful greens that you see at the farmer's market, or that get that kohlrabi in your farm box and feel like you can turn that into a meal and start to be able to do that on your own. Of course, the recipes are always there for you if you're somebody who needs to follow a recipe and wants to, and these recipes are tested and tested again, so they absolutely will work if you follow them very closely. But I want, if you're one of those cooks that wants to just get creative and kind of play in the kitchen, this is, I share all the different ways that you can do that. And I think as you cook through the book, you'll start to feel really confident going out on your own and making these recipes your own.
This is All Sides with Anna Staver on 89.7 NPR News. And this is our spring membership drive. Your support pays for the programs you listen to every day, because listener support is the foundation of our budget. So I'd like to ask you to please go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. If you make a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer, you're going to get Kara's new cookbook, The Vegetable Eater, the playbook for cooking vegetarian. And you're running out of time to give this hour. So I'd like to ask you to please make a gift right now while you're thinking about it and while Kara is on the air with us. Your gift will get you a great thank you gift, and you get to support everything that you hear on this station. Your gift supports things like Morning Edition, local news that comes from our own WOSU newsroom, and you get your gift to support this show. Get the gift now for $10 a month. Go to WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And we would love to hear from 10 more people in the next 8 minutes to really make this hour a success. And I got to tell you, this book is full of irresistible vegetable forward recipes that you're going to love. They've got a spring vegetable orzo soup, butternut squash steak sandwiches. There's even a recipe called a once a week broccoli stir fry. It's got some nuts in it. It looks fantastic. And there's recipes for casseroles, lasagnas, even pot pies. Don't miss your chance to take home a great cookbook and support public radio in the process. Again, it's $10 a month at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And thank you to Pat Chris from Columbus and Whitney Carr in Columbus. We've got 8 more to go. 89.7 NPR News exists to make sure that everyone in Central Ohio has access to vital information and news, with locally focused programs like All Sides that you're listening to right now with me. 89.7 NPR News addresses issues that impact our community at the local, regional, state, even national levels. It's valuable radio, but it relies on you and your donations to keep it on the air. Please give now at WOSU.org or by phone at 866-897-9678. We'd sure love 8 more people to make this hour a big success. And if you're already a sustaining member, thank you. Maybe you could consider increasing your support today by a few bucks a month. That increase would help fund all that you're going to hear in the months ahead, especially as we head towards the 2024 election. Consider increasing your sustaining membership or make a small additional gift to help make this hour a success. Give at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. Let's talk about those pot pies. Because I was like, oh, I love a good pot pie in the fall and winter. They're such a cozy thing to cook, especially, like, I don't know why, but I instantly envision like the snow coming down outside and you've got a nice warm pot pie. The lentil and mushroom shepherd's pie looks amazing. I just got to say, I was like, ooh, that sounds like a good one.
Oh, it's so good. And you can use the top, you can just use classic, make mashed potatoes, but you can also, when celery root is in season, you can do all celery root, or you can mix celery root in with the potatoes, and it just adds a special something to that dish. And just a depth of flavor that's really wonderful. This whole section is called the classic dinner pie. And I believe it's something every vegetable eater should know. And it's something that everyone at the table will get really excited about. So there's a beet Wellington with horseradish cream. Another one that I think would be wonderful for a winter celebration or for a holiday meal. And it's just excellent. That uses a store-bought puff pastry. There's steps on how to actually make that dish. And then there's this wonderful celery root pot pie. And that one's made in a skillet, really easy to come together, but it's using all those wonderful winter roots, sweet potato, celery root, apple, parsnips, or carrots, or combination of them. And it just really is, it's classic. All the dishes in this section are classic, and they're meant to be celebratory and something that you can serve a crowd.
Yeah, there's also a beet Wellington, which is just wild to me, and I love the concept. And I want to say thank you to Christine Kaufman from Columbus. We've got 7 more to go before the hour runs out. This is our spring membership drive on 89.7 NPR News. And like I said, you're running out of time to give this hour. So don't wait, don't delay. Grab your phone and visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And for a gift of $10 a month as a sustainer, we're going to send you Cara Mangini's brand new book, The Vegetable Eater, the new playbook for cooking vegetarian. And like we've been talking about, it's got more than 100 recipes. We haven't even scratched the surface on what it's got. And these recipes look delicious. I haven't cooked most of them, but I'm sure they taste delicious. It's full of simple lessons all the way to the more complicated things like a beet Wellington. It includes salads, grain bowls, noodle bowls, even desserts. Get this book for $10 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $120. You'll be supporting public radio, and you'll get to explore all the ways you can make vegetables the center of your plate. Visit WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Public radio is community radio. That's why 89.7 brings you a show like this one. All Sides, we all here, our whole team, works hard to bring you shows every day that captures the news, politics, and cultural interests of Central Ohio. It's a powerful service that helps you understand your community just a bit more with stories that impact your life, your work, your family. And it's all powered by you. Please join with your radio station and your local talk show. Make 89.7 NPR a part of your family. Donate now at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. Thanks to Kim Clark, we've got 6 more to go to make this hour a success, and we only have 3 minutes left. The time to give is now. If you listen every day or even every week, then now is time to support the things that you value. Make a gift of $10 a month, and you get this great thank you gift, the Vegetable Eater Cookbook. It's also a one-time gift of $120. So pick up your phone, type in WOSU.org, or give us a call at 866-897-9678. Yeah, my husband likes to make beef Wellington at Christmas. And I was like, first of all, I love the like play on words, beet Wellington. This sounds like such a funky, fun idea.
It is rich. It has layered with caramelized onions and walnuts and just has all these, it's a very decadent, really rich dish that is worthy of the holiday table for sure. So it's one I recommend, and it's something that I serve around the holidays as well.
Yeah, and it looks, just looking at the recipe, it looks just about as complicated as making a traditional beef Wellington. I mean, that's not like the sheep pan coconut greens and sweet potatoes. It's going to be a little more complicated.
No, I try and hold your hand throughout the process, and it actually is a little simpler than it looks. It's really about roasting the beets and sautéing some onions and then layering it in the store-bought pastry. So it is easier than it looks, but it's the impact, I think, is big. It sort of is more sophisticated in flavor and just also in plating and the appearance of the dish than it actually is to make.
That was Cara Mangini. She's the chef and author of The Vegetable Eater and The Vegetable Butcher. I want to thank you so much for your time this hour.
Thank you for having me.
And you still have a couple of seconds. So if you call 866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org for $10 a month or a one-time gift of $120, you can snag Kara's new book. There's still just a couple of seconds left, so pick up your phone and call. This is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus. And online at WOSU.org. We're a service of WOSU Public Media. 89.7 NPR News. Global. Local.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.